Well, two more egregious examples of fake news bias occurred last week. ABC hired Keith Olderman. Olderman is a man who has violently attacked Donald Trump and spews filth with regularity. Olderman has called Trump an ape and worse. Then a foul-mouthed hack named Samantha Bee attacked Ivanka Trump with vile language that should have been censored by ABC, but wasn't. I'm take that back. It's TBS. Her network is TBS, and they allowed her to use a word against Ivanka Trump that is the equivalent for women of the N-word, and she has so far been allowed to stay on air. There is a movement to boycott sponsors of TBS's Samantha Bee program and ABC's The View. Every conservative should contact those sponsors and tell them that you will never buy their products as long as they support hypocritical gutter shows like those. Every patriotic American should be ashamed of the fake news media, and ABC is as fake as it gets. Each evening, the networks can be counted on to spend 10 to 15, well, make it 8 to 10 minutes of a 22-minute newscast to undermine the president. They showed delight when they thought that the meeting between President Trump and Kim Jong-un had been canceled. After Trump made the decision to stop the meeting, the North Korean leader backed down, and last Friday we learned that they will meet in Singapore early this month. The networks and cable channels reluctantly gave that news, but then they speculated on whether or not there would be an agreement on denuclearization with North Korea. Think about that. No United States president has ever gotten the North Korean dictators to meet, or even discuss ending their nuclear program. The meeting and the ones to follow may or may not bring an end to the North's nuclear ambitions. If it doesn't, we haven't lost anything, and we're back to where we were before. If it does, the world and the United States are more safer places. The fake news media's hate of this president is far greater than their love for this country. They honestly believe that if they spread lies and innuendos often enough, the American people can be made to turn on their president. On ABC, it's David Muir, Jonathan Carl, Cecilia Vega, and Martha Raddatz who show open hatred for Trump. Nothing the man can ever do will ever be appreciated by these vultures who wept and gnashed their teeth when Hillary Clinton lost the election. Only tried and true liberal progressives from Hollywood to fake news rooms and college campuses, and from socialists and communists and professional agitators like Antifa and Black Lives Matter see value in destroying the president. Unfortunately, the Democratic Party under Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer holds those people in awe and urges them forward. Wake up, America. We are under attack from within. Now, I've told you before in my commentaries that there is a war on Christianity. Christians are attacked day and night on late-night shows like Colbert and Kimmel. An avowed atheist, Bill Maher, has a cable show in which he attacks everything Christian, and with the election of Donald Trump, has said the most offensive things about the man. As I said before, ABC has also recently hired Keith Olderman, a man who has said the most profane things about the president. Apparently, ABC's standards are lowered when liberal atheists like Olderman and this Kimmel character are on air. The two most prominent liberals on The View are Whoopi Goldberg and the never-ending, never-was comic caricature named Joy Behar. Goldberg has spewed her liberal hogwash with outrageous statements on the program, but Joy Behar takes the word offensive to a new level. Her attacks on Christianity have been constant. Still, ABC keeps giving her a platform for her profane attacks. Behar has criticized President Trump's appearance with crude language. She has referred to him as an ape and other offensive terms. When there was a fire in the Trump Tower, it was Behar who hoped that it was Trump who died in the fire. And the ABC Evening News is allowed to present outright lies and convoluted political rhetoric from the likes of David Muir and Carl and Vega. As long as all of this is directed toward Christians or conservatives, ABC allows it. Now, recently, Roseanne Barr made an outrageous comment about Valerie Jarrett, and ABC promptly canceled her show. It was below their standards, they said. But those standards are not lowered by pitiful pundits like Joy Behar. What Roseanne said about Jarrett was better left unsaid, and Barr apologized for her remarks. But the Roseanne show had delved into politics. Roseanne was depicted as a Trump supporter, and that was enough for ABC to lower the guns. Yet, to their surprise, the audience made the Roseanne show a monstrous hit, and ABC, bowing to their need for greed, renewed the series, only to have liberal Hollywood and the fake news media pick up on a Roseanne comment off camera and hammer it to death. The same people who salute Joy Behar's denigration of the president were suddenly deeply offended at Roseanne's remarks. Although I have no respect for the Iranian-born Valerie Jarrett or her despicable puppet-like handling of Barack Hussein Obama, there is no place for attacking someone's looks or referring to them in bestial terms. But ABC is being hypocritical by firing Roseanne and retaining the equally offensive Joy Behar, Whoopi Goldberg, and Keith Olderman. Given ABC's lack of ethics, I no longer watch the channel. There are ABC shows that we enjoy, but there comes a time to stand up and be counted, and for us, this is the time. Now, that does not mean I support Roseanne's comment about Jarrett. Far from it. But the hypocrisy of ABC and the other fake news outlets has to be confronted. Now, all of my life, I've heard enemies of America tell us that we will destroy ourselves from within. That, of course, was always hard for us to believe, and many scoffed at the idea. But as we have seen over the past 50 years, all of the morality and common sense that we've always taken for granted has been destroyed by a liberal agenda. Let me describe 10 liberal agendas for our destruction, beginning with socialism, the never-ending quest by leftists to destroy capitalism and America. Socialists and socialism has been tried around the world, and never once has it succeeded. Russia tried it, Cuba tried it, and the world can clearly see the situation today in Venezuela. Remember when self-professed socialist Bernie Sanders said that America should follow Venezuela's example? Nowhere in the world is there more misery than in Venezuela today. Inflation is running at unsustainable level in the thousands of percents. The people are starving, and there is no help for them on the horizon. The mortality rate for babies in Venezuela has skyrocketed. Yet, today, liberal America still backs Bernie Sanders. He has announced that he will run for the Senate again from the liberal state of Vermont, and there is no doubt that at the age of 80, he will try again to become our president in 2020. Socialists and communists have told us for years that it is their aim for our destruction, and yet millions of left-wing Americans voted for Bernie Sanders in the 2016 election. Bernie believes that all Americans who want a job with the government should be given one at $15 an hour. That's just one of his moronic goals. Still, while this socialist would have been laughed out of town 50 years ago, today he's accepted as the new norm. Now comes the subjugation of our national defense to the United Nations. Leftists are pushing for globalism without borders or national identity. The view of the left is that America should welcome all who wish to come here, regardless of their intentions or their desire to take advantage of a naive nation that rewards them with money and welfare to come here. The only thing that has kept America free is its military might. We must not subjugate our defense to the UN or anyone else. Then there's the homosexual agenda, the need for the left to destroy the underpinnings of marriage and civilization. It is no longer enough to be tolerant of a lifestyle one doesn't agree with, but it must be embraced. Meanwhile, the American family is being destroyed. And then there is the leftist demand for gun control. What they mean is the confiscation of guns, the only means that Americans have to protect themselves. In a leftist world, only the ruling class would be allowed to own guns for their protection. The recent school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, set back the left's attempts to ban AR-15 rifles as the cause of school violence. In Santa Fe, the teenaged gunman used a shotgun and a pistol to kill classmates and teachers. The response from the left was, "Oops." So the next step is wholesale abortion. The urgent need of the left to destroy Christian teaching, defile God, and the concept of life, and couple that with religious persecution. The need for the left to destroy Christianity while praising Islam and other violent religions. Another step from the left to destroy America is through welfare and entitlement. How the left has kept black people in servitude on political plantations and beholden to their masses. Add to that judicial activism. There is no need to pass laws when leftist judges can make up their own laws anytime they want. And finally, political correctness. The method that the left uses to silence free speech in America and dumb down the population. Did you ever think that you would live in a society where a so-called expert advocates that parents have to get permission before changing a child's diaper? That cities and states would become sanctuary sites for illegal aliens to hide from authorities? Or that these cities and states would give illegal aliens the right to hold public office and to vote in our elections? That is the path of the liberal movement in this country. Fools like New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, who just told police there to stand down and allow marijuana to be openly used on New York streets. Urinating and defecating in public is literally tolerated in New York now. In Chicago, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, part of the Bill and Hillary Clinton movement, ignores the growing death rate among black citizens of that city and welcomes illegal aliens. Chicago is the most corrupt city in America and has been ruled by Democrats for decades. Rahm Emanuel is just the latest in a long line of corrupt politicians in Chicago. Remember, Barack Hussein Obama came from where? Chicago. There he was a community organizer. The fake news media failed to explain to you, the public, that a community organizer is just another name for a rabble-rouser who agitates crowds into a frenzy. Without that explanation, many naive voters turned out to put a man into the presidency who promised to bring America down, and that if the political winds shifted, he would side with Islam, not America. Once in office, he did both. As part of my research for these commentaries, I find information from many different sources, and I tediously check them for accuracy. ConservativeInfo.com was a source of information today. Their take on the problems with liberalism mirror my own. You see, the world today is as tense as ever. There are terrorist attacks all over the world as Eastern civilization tries to destroy the Western world. In the United States, former President Barack Hussein Obama and his administration tore this country apart. Obama took the side of the left and backed hate groups like Black Lives Matter. He supported liberals who want to see America brought down. He also backed illegal immigration into this country from Mexico and other countries where terrorists exist. He also supported refugees flooding into this country who hide among us and use Islam as their cry for destroying Christians and harming the Western way of life. The major issue I have with the left is Black Lives Matter. That's an organization that was formed after the Ferguson shooting to supposedly stand up for black people. This was not a spontaneous grouping, but cleverly organized by money from white billionaires who seek to overthrow this country. It is a hate group and a black power movement. And even though they say they are for All Lives Matter, they're not. When anybody brings up the fact that all lives matter, they call you a racist, assault you, and call for your death. If you don't agree with the left, you are automatically a racist and all about white privilege and supremacy. First of all, remember the Dallas police shootings? It was an act of terrorism, and Black Lives Matter encouraged it and said that it was payback. A sniper gunned down and killed 5 police officers. This was said to be in retaliation against what police officers had done in Louisiana and Minnesota, far from Dallas. Alton Sterling was a black male shot by police officers and died. So Black Lives Matter took to the streets to protest. But as usual, they didn't wait for the full story and took only the part that they wanted to hear. Sterling had resisted arrest even after the officers discharged their tasers, and then he reached for a firearm. The police saw a clear and present threat and danger and were right to take action to protect themselves. This is one of many cases where somebody is called a victim, but in reality was resisting arrest, reaching for a gun, and failing to comply with an officer's orders. This could all have been avoided if the law was obeyed. I have little or no sympathy for anybody, regardless of skin color, who resists arrests. Simply comply with an officer's orders. There will be plenty of time for you to complain or seek the justice that you claim was denied you. The other thing about Black Lives Matter terrorism is that whenever something happens, they go out and riot and end up destroying the very community they live in. Why would you go out and flip cars and set cars on fire or smash the windows of businesses that bring money back into your community to improve it? What most people don't realize is that groups like Black Lives Matter or Antifa don't just start up on their own. These people are recruited, they're organized, they're directed by white socialist communist billionaires like George Soros and others. Most of these irate protesters are paid, and they move from protest to protest. Let me give you 2 prime examples. First, the inauguration of President Trump, where liberal-backed protesters destroyed a Starbucks and a Chase Bank branch before setting fire to a limo that belonged to an immigrant and was his only source of making a living. If the left would just grow up and accept the results of a fair election and wait 4 to 8 years before they go to the polls again, they'd at least get some respect. But they whine and destroy things like immature children. Another example is the UC Berkeley riot in California. The left and Black Lives Matter didn't like that someone with views different from their own would be given the same free speech opportunity they demand for themselves. So they decided to set buildings on fire and force the speaker to leave. The left is all for First Amendment rights until someone on the right seeks their own First Amendment rights. Then they threaten and destroy because there is no way that their own beliefs could ever be wrong. Black Lives Matter sees fun in blocking roads and interstates to slow down citizens who actually are contributing to this country by working. Work is a concept that is foreign to these ignorant professional protesters. BLM, in the end, is a terrorist group. Also, to clarify, if you really want to make a change for black lives, start in Chicago, where the black-on-black crime in 1 year outweighs 40 years or more of white-on-black crime. Black-on-black crime is the real epidemic, not cops killing blacks or whites killing blacks. On a typical weekend in Chicago, blacks are shot and killed in double digits every weekend. Meanwhile, these professional agitators and their community organizers cluster around one black death elsewhere to protest, loot, and burn, while multiple deaths each and every weekend in Chicago go unnoticed. The next major issue with the liberal left is refugees and illegal immigration. I am all for legal immigration. And if you ask a legal immigrant in America, they'll agree that allowing illegals to jump the line and receive taxpayer benefits is terribly wrong. Life is so much easier when you are here legally. We can all agree that legal immigrants played a great part in the building of America. Once here, they assimilated into our culture. They learned to speak English and they became proud Americans. They were welcomed. Those who follow that same legal process should also be welcomed, and they are. It defies common sense to support illegal immigration, but liberals, with rare exceptions, lack common sense. What I have an issue with is that Barack Obama made it possible for illegal aliens to come into this country and take jobs while getting government benefits. Instead of giving it to them, how about we help the thousands of homeless veterans who'd fought for their country? Instead of Starbucks giving 10,000 jobs to refugees, give them to the vets and the legal immigrants who want to work and support themselves. The same Democrats who were for building a wall on our southern border are now against it simply because Donald Trump proposed it. Many countries around the world have built walls to protect themselves, and others are building walls even as I speak. The Pope hypocritically denounced walls while residing at the Vatican, which is surrounded on all sides by walls. Trump's ban on refugees coming from the Middle East countries with known terrorists and lax security was a great idea, common sense idea, and yet the left freaked out and called it racist. Trump suggested a ban for 90 days while the government created a vetting program to ensure that terrorists from the Middle East and elsewhere are prevented from entering America. Liberals forget so quickly that Barack Hussein Obama did the same thing, and his ban was for 6 months, not 90 days. Obama's ban was obviously twice as long as Trump's proposed ban, but because Trump is a white male with white privilege, that makes him a racist and evil. I don't hate people because of skin color or where they're from, except ISIS. But if they want to come and bring harm to my country, they should not be allowed to do it. The next issue is Hollyweird. These celebrities think that they know more than the rest of us, and they should run the country. But they don't, and they live in one little area of California, the most liberal state in America. These celebrities are hypocrites. If Trump wasn't president, they'd all be hanging out in booking rooms at Trump Tower. Since he is president, though, and beat Hillary Clinton, they hate him, call him a racist, and seek to destroy his businesses. It is amazing to me how many so-called celebrities are so far to the left as to be goofy. They live in a pretend world. They make a living portraying imaginary people. They have nannies for their children and no concept as to how the average, ordinary American lives. It is those average, ordinary Americans who pay the exorbitant contracts of these celebrities, their mansions, and their Mercedes. The best part is that people have woken up and they are spurning liberal California and the fruitcakes that live in Hollyweird. Celebrities and politics don't mix and never will. Interestingly enough, the people of California want to secede from the Union, not the whole state. They want three different states carved out of California. They're not in favor of all of this liberal gobbledygook. Liberals think they can start a revolution, just as radicals in the black community have called for a revolution. But both need to rethink that idea. The conservative right has the vast majority of guns in this country, and any idea of a revolution would end badly for liberals. Conservatives also back and support the police and our military, and since the left causes most of the trouble to them, they would not side with the anarchists. President Trump favors the right over the left, but he still tries to get the leftists to seek common ground and work out issues rather than remain divided. The left's hate won't allow them to find any common ground. President Donald Trump is hated by the Democratic left because he is upsetting their carefully planned agenda. After 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama and his administration's dishonest use of the IRS, the FBI, and the Justice Department, the liberal establishment was desperate to have Hillary Clinton elected in order to keep the lid on, keep the secrets of government overreach from being uncovered. And that's why the left was so devastated when Trump won and Hillary lost. All of the past dirty games and intrigue would now eventually come to light. Democrats are fighting hard to keep it all covered up. But each day, we are closer to the truth, and that truth will be ugly. After just 1 year in office, Trump has already accomplished great things. He is dismantling Obamacare, starting the construction of the pipeline for more efficient energy and to keep us from dependence on Middle East oil. He has started building the wall to keep illegal aliens out of our country, even as Mexico has been aiding and abetting the illegal aliens to come across their country into ours. Trump has stood up to China and got them to commit to addressing the trade imbalance we have suffered for years. He has gotten North Korea's dictator Kim Jong-un's attention and shown him that this time the United States is serious about preventing nuclear weapons in North Korean hands. When North Korea recently tried propaganda against Trump, he called off the meeting scheduled between him and Kim Jong-un. Democrats delighted in telling the American people that Trump had celebrated too early and his initiative had failed. They were gleeful at the thought that Trump's attempt to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula had failed. But when Trump stood firm, the North Koreans hastened to back off of their demands and called for talks to resume. It was the liberal Democrats who celebrated too early, not Trump. Relations with Russia are stronger now than under Obama. Jobs are coming back. Wages are rising. The stock market is on a tear. Trump required that the steel for the pipeline be made in the United States, reviving the steel industry. Black and Hispanic unemployment is at an all-time low. President Trump personally attended the funeral of the first soldiers that died on his watch. Our military is being upgraded after Obama decimated it. Military morale is rising as our soldiers see a commander-in-chief who appreciates them, unlike the Obamas and Clintons who despised the military. For all of those accomplishments, Trump suffers under withering Democratic criticism. He is constantly undermined by a fake news mainstream media dominated by Democrats and who long ago lost all objectivity in favor of the far-left liberal agenda. All of us who are privileged to live in this great country should want the president to succeed, any president. I am bitterly disappointed that Barack Hussein Obama was elected and reelected as president, but I would have been quite happy if he had had success in furthering America's goals. Instead, he was seen by foreign governments as weak and ineffective. He traveled the world apologizing for America and bowing to Islamic leaders. He used the IRS, the Justice Department, and the FBI to punish conservatives and Republicans. Valerie Jarrett, Obama's Iranian-born puppet master, said that they would take over and punish those who did not support them, and they did. Once Obama was in office, they used our own government against those who they perceived as enemies. Ironically, the Obama administration spent their time attacking political enemies and failed to move America forward. Liberals and Democrats are blinded by hate, and they fail to understand that if President Trump loses, America loses. And that is the tragedy we live with today.